Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm glad you're still with me. Julia Seymour is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Julia is a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, assistant editor and analyst for Business and Media Institute. And they're one of the folks who take a look at the media and see how they're doing and covering the various issues out there. And she's here to talk to us about some of those to see if, you know, if these folks are serving us well. Julia, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
It's good to have you back, as always. What's on your radar screen these days?
Well, you know, of course, we've been talking a lot about the stimulus bill over here, but last week I also looked at Obama's decision to cap executive pay, and he made a statement back on February 4th, which was 2 weeks ago now. Declaring that, you know, these CEOs on Wall Street were going to have to restrain themselves, and they weren't going to, if they took excessive amounts of money from the government in TARP loans from this point going forward, they were not going to be able to pay their executives more than $500,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And there were also, their bonuses were going to be reduced to stock options only that could only be cashed out after the money was paid back to the government.
Right.
What we then saw actually happen just this past Friday before the stimulus bill was passed was that Chris Dodd slipped in an even more stringent.
Senator Dodd from Connecticut, senior senator from Connecticut. Yep.
Yes. Slipped in a more stringent and retroactive requirement into the bill, demanding that any company that took money from the government, even going backwards to the first TARP, would be under requirements like these for salary caps.
Mm-hmm. So, there's two sides to this issue. Number one, obviously, the idea of the government deciding what private executives should make makes mm-hmm. my skin crawl.
As
but fine. But at the same time, you know, these companies got themselves into most of these companies got themselves into this, so they're inheriting the whirlwind that they created. That's one point. The second point is, they can blame some of these guys, like the AIG guys and like John Thain and some of these other people, for being so tone deaf about what's going on that they couldn't quit spending.
Certainly.
And that kind of thing, it's gotten to the point where these people don't understand what unseemly is.
Well, I think that when you look at this, this is just bad precedent. While, you know, the only thing, the way to really fix this problem is, sure, let the media is going to be out there condemning them either way. So if they're overspending, they're going to be dealing with negative press. And that's a way to sort of, you know, make them know that they're doing something that maybe isn't the wisest idea in the current climate, without actually saying, we're going to just pick a number out of thin air and tell you that's how much you can make. I also think that, you know, in some cases, they kind of made a deal with the devil here, you know? I mean,
yes,
if you're going to
absolutely.
The government for a handout and expecting they're not going to scrutinize you, that's a little naive. But in some of the cases, these banks didn't want the money. They were basically
some banks were made to take money, and if they were made to take money, then they shouldn't be under the same scrutiny.
And that's what I think is fundamentally unfair, is that the banks that didn't want the money are going to get pushed into the same place as all the companies who needed the money. And we even, just the day that Obama made his statement, we saw Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs both saying, okay, we want to repay this as soon as possible,
right,
because
right.
we don't want to be under this requirement. And who can blame them? I mean, Goldman Sachs CEO made $68.5 million in 2007.
Right.
I'm guessing he isn't going to want to start working for 1/137th of his previous salary.
Right. Well, and you know, folks, the as small business owners, you know, this is kind of eye glazing kind of stuff, and sometimes it makes us mad when we hear about some of these things. But truthfully, the thing, obviously, if your company is failing, you shouldn't make $68 million. But
right.
at the same time, but I will tell you this, there is something worse that is happening, mm-hmm. and that is where the government, I mean, worse than the guy taking $68 million is the government telling his company how much he can make. That's worse,
exactly.
believe it or not. And I've got a precedent for this that we've already seen happen, and I'll talk about when we come back after these messages. And it doesn't work, by the way, folks. 20 till the hour. Julia Seymour is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you'll go there and use it to your advantage. We built it for you. Subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. Listen to the archives. Listen to the shows that we've done recently. If you want to go back and find a topic that's on your mind, you can read an article or listen to what some of our Brain Trust members have had to say about that. All that's there for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. Julia Seymour is with us, folks. She's assistant editor and an analyst for Business and Media Institute. We're talking about some of the stuff our government's up to and what the media has been doing to cover it. One of the things, Julie, I want to mention, when we were talking just a minute ago about your coverage of the government's attempt, their accomplishment of limiting
yeah.
the pay of CEOs.
Yeah.
Businesses to have taken TARP money, and a lot of people. That's not a bad thing. That's not a even though the precedent is bad, as you say, it doesn't
right.
bother a lot of people that these guys, these fat cats, you know, can't continue to take money from the companies. But here's what I think we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we had Enron and WorldCom and Tyco and all those companies that came to a head all at once.
Yep.
I did the math on that, and of all the public companies in America, the companies that where the CEOs created those problems represented 8/10,000 of all the public companies.
Wow.
That's how few there were compared to how many public companies we had who were doing things right.
Exactly.
Now, every single person who did what they did in those companies, WorldCom, Tyco, Enron, every one of those guys are in jail right now.
Right, and they paid consequences.
Under laws that were already in place.
Exactly.
But later, within 90 days after all that stuff started happening, mm-hmm. our Congress passed something called Sarbanes-Oxley, which imposed mm-hmm. extra auditing regulations on the entire economy, the entire mm-hmm. publicly traded and not even publicly traded, the entire auditing organizations
yep.
that has affected the entire country and has hurt this economy for the behavior of 8/10,000 of all companies, even though those guys were going to be punished under existing laws. Now that's the example. To me, that's a great example of what happens when our government overreacts.
And it happens all the time. They're always late to the party and then responding when
right.
the problem's already, you know, taken care of. Particularly in that case, they went to jail based on the laws that already existed. Maybe they should
yep.
concern themselves with enforcing current laws instead of trying to make new ones and creating an entire new mess down the road, like they did with Sarbanes-Oxley.
Now, Julia, one thing I need to point out here is this hurts small businesses mm-hmm. because it increased the cost of everybody's audit, even as it trickled down to small businesses. Many small businesses have audited financial statements,
yeah.
and it increased the cost of those of even their audits. So that wasn't good for small businesses. So I guess what I'm getting at is we still don't know what the government's imposition on wages, on pay scale for CEOs, we don't know how that's going to ripple downstream. We don't know where it's going to end yet.
Exactly. And I think I would caution everyone who's encouraged by this news to hold on a second and say, well, wait, what would I feel if it happened to me? Because, unfortunately, there are people in Congress who want compensation restrictions extended to all businesses. CNN reported that Democratic Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts wants that.
Yeah.
And that would be... Imagine what sort of consequences that would have. I can't fathom how that would hurt businesses and yeah. what kind of talent suck that would create. I mean, we already have plenty of economists warning that if you cap it in the financial sector, all of the good talent is going to leave the financial sector.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean,
what are some of the other things you guys are tracking these days?
Sure. Well, we actually... we will have a special report on the stimulus package and the media's coverage of the stimulus package coming out very soon.
Do you mind if for the rest of our visit we call it the so-called stimulus package?
I love that, the so-called stimulus package, because we know that
the
it's
alleged,
full of weight.
Or if you prefer, the alleged stimulus package.
Exactly.
Because this is not going to stimulate the economy, folks, this bill.
No, and we have so many people out there saying that it's not going to.
The money they're going to spend is not going to get in the economy quick enough. It's not going to create jobs like they think it will. Mm-hmm. And here's the, one of the big examples. And I've been writing about this and I've been talking about this, Julia, for several weeks now.
Yeah.
It does virtually nothing. I'm going to take virtually out and say it does nothing to promote jobs growth among the largest jobs creating sector in the economy, small businesses. Small businesses are completely, there's nothing in this package that will help small businesses to any degree at all.
Right.
Now, what's wrong with that picture, Julia?
It's absurd. But it goes back to the fundamental problem of government involving themselves in the economy and in the market. They don't understand what works and what doesn't. They're clinging to Keynesian economics. They're doing the same things we did during the Depression. And they just don't learn.
Well, they don't know how the economy works, folks, that's for sure. What they know how to do, though, is they know how to load pork and spending onto legislation and then impose it onto us and the debt onto our children, our grandchildren. Tintel, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Julia Seymour. She is with the Business and Media Institute. Julia, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. Well, we are part of the Media Research Center based out here in Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. And what we do here specifically in the Business and Media Institute is monitor how the media are covering issues that will affect your pocketbook and telling you what they've done wrong, what they've done right, and bringing expert analysis from economists to that to those stories.
How has the media done with this so far with the Obama administration and the new Congress?
Well, I think that they've even admitted that they were wildly pro-Obama throughout the elections. And,
in the tank is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, in the tank, exactly. And since then, I mean, I have seen a little bit of pushback, but certainly not much. I mean, generally they cover his press conferences and barely say anything.
Well, look, if you're gonna help the guy get elected, give him he deserves a honeymoon.
Well, exactly. He's certainly been getting a honeymoon from most of the media. Although it's interesting too to note that all of this coverage is actually costing them a lot of money. The fact that he keeps coming out and talking, it costs them tons of money. But they may be afraid to.
What do you mean by that? Explain that.
Well, every time he comes out and has a press conference, those are resources they have to redirect.
I see.
You know, they have to send their reporters to it because they don't cover it, or if they're late to the party. So he's controlling everything, you know, by constantly being out there listening to, you know, talking, or having his press secretary out there talking. He's controlling a huge chunk of the amount of time the media has to go find other things to do.
Right, right. Very interesting. You know, there's one thing that's going on that I think he's going to announce today, and that's his mortgage bailout plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be announced today, isn't it?
Yes. According to the New York Times, he's supposed to be announcing that in a speech today.
One of the pre-releases I saw in that was how they think that they're going to try to help people stay in homes that probably should never been in those homes.
Yes. And,
so here's and that, my here's my question, Julia.
Yes.
what about the people who are in a home that they actually should be in? They didn't buy too much house,
right,
but they're in trouble from a foreclosure standpoint. Not because they bought too much house, but because they got laid off.
Right.
Because the other people bought too much house and it put the economy into a tailspin.
I wonder if there are
people who are going to get lose their homes because they don't fit that profile.
I mean, it's certainly something to worry about. And the housing situation, and I think anytime you talk about interfering like this, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone's like, something has to be done because we have all of these homeowners. I hate the word homeowner. You're not an owner until you've paid for it.
Right.
home borrowers, home people living in homes that they haven't paid for yet. But you're right. I mean, my heart certainly would go out far more to someone who was doing everything right, and then life happened.
They lost their job because the economy went bad. It's going to be, now this is one of the things that I'm going to want that I hope the press will pay attention to, mm-hmm, is, you know, we got two kinds of people who are in jeopardy in their homes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Two classes of folks. One is a group that bought more house than they should have.
Yeah.
And then another group is one who may lose their home because they just lost their job, but they're not living in a $500,000 house making $900
right,
a week.
Right, exactly. Well, and the problem with saving all those people who made the bad decision, who got greedy or who
right,
bought too much or whatever, I mean, it's moral hazard. You're creating an incentive to make the wrong decision.
Yeah. But I think, Julia, unfortunately, the moral hazard ship sailed, I think, about 8 months ago.
I agree. I mean, it's just all of this creates moral hazard.
That's where the big danger is. Mm-hmm. They're doing things right now that are propping up situations that, so they don't fail right now, but ultimately it's just creating a bigger house of cards, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid of that too.
Yeah. We'll see, won't we? Hey, Julia, thanks for being here. Give us your website, please.
Thank you. Yes, it's businessandmedia.org.
Businessandmedia.org. Folks, they've got the finger on the pulse of how the press is covering, how the media is covering the current events, and I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. Julia, we'll be back another day, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.